Welcome to Practical Wisdom Stories, Soul Searching. My name is Nikki Kleppel, and our guest today is Michelle Gnida. Michelle, welcome.
Thank you. Hi, Nikki.
Now, Michelle, we've been friends colleagues for many years now working within Carnegie, so I was really excited to see that you just launched a blog. And of course, you know, with this being soul searching, it's so fascinating to me when people use this time for, you know, some kind of new insight or something. And so tell us about your journey and how you came to launch your blog.
Yeah, thanks, Nikki. So really, I wanted to start this about 5 years ago. It was a long time ago. And I can't even tell you how many blogs I have written out, like 98% of the way. And I didn't finish it. I didn't post it, and I kept paying for, my friend works for GoDaddy. So she helped me get it all started, like, you know, with my picture on it and everything. But I just never posted it.
What was holding you back?
I had a lit teacher it was a summer class at the University of Iowa, which I'm a huge Hawkeye. You know that. I love my school, my alma mater, right? However, this lit teacher, I got a C on a paper, and it didn't happen, right? So I went in to talk to him, and he went off on me about how he's like, you know what? You write just like you talk. And I said, well, I thought that's what you were supposed to do. And he goes, I said, well, and his comment was really interesting. He said, you have a lot of insight here. You see things, right? But you don't write about it well. And I said, okay, so what could I do different? And his only comment, his only coaching was, well, you have a lot of run-on sentences. And that's it, right? He couldn't tell me what to do better. Now, my grade went up because I kept going in, and he couldn't tell me what to do better. And now I know, looking back, he was just, you know, somebody who needed the Dale Carnegie course. He was bitter. Right. And so I realized earlier this year that individual from decades ago was still in my head, getting in my way. And I thought, you know what? It's not going to be perfect. I'm not a professional writer. And right now, people need things. I mean, it's some of the experiences right now, training, are just incredible. People need these things. So I just decided to go for it, right? And just put it out there, knowing it's not going to be perfect. And I was shocked by how many comments of positive people have come back saying, you go, right?
Yeah. Oh, good. And I think that's one of the things, and one of the reasons I wanted to also say, hey, you go and come on my podcast and talk about it too, is it's so liberating. You know, when you see somebody else be brave, you know, you know, people look at you, go, oh, way to go, Michelle, you've got this. But then it's like, oh, I've got a blog too. Oh, forget it. Right. So, you know, what advice would you give if people are kind of like right on that edge of being able to have the bravery that it takes to hit post?
I'd say just that, go for it. Just, you know, I keep thinking of Brene Brown, right? To daring greatly. The person who dares greatly is the person who puts themselves in the ring. And I think that anybody would be surprised at how much positive comes back. Now, I'm sure there's negative that's in people's brains, you know, depending on how many people are reading it at this point in time. But there was a lot of positive that came back. And it's fun. It gets my thoughts organized. Yeah, during the week.
That's it. It's been a lot of fun. I also say it's not just about the post and it's done, but you're still reflecting and thinking, and that it's a process that you're really showing us.
Yeah, yeah. And one of my goals is that, you, as you know, Nikki, it occurred to me, and this was about 3 months ago, how many people that I talk to that say some pretty cool things, right? And you're like, and I want to get that out there too. So I was talking to so-and-so, and this was one thing they said.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's it for me too, is gosh, there's so many neat people in our business and, you know, clients, and we do, people can be, you know, cracked open, and you really hear work and family and all these things. And people have so many great, personal philosophies and wisdoms and stories. So maybe also summarize on this first blog, there were those four main points. What, if you could summarize those for our listeners?
Oh, the four main points on the first blog. Well, it was about polarization. Let me even see, right? I've done three of the four. Just because, right, there's so much polarization right now. Mm-hmm. And you're in a different part of the world too. It is crazy. It was crazy. And so I thought, okay, what? It was 4 a.m. I got up when I started writing it. And because it was just going around in my circles and started looking at what four things, actions can we take to polarize less? And one that I just am going to post here soon is to be grateful, right? Because when we're grateful about what we have, we're less likely to have that hatred towards others that think differently. And we're more likely to accept, right? And then also really, really get to know other people. That's part of it too. So if somebody doesn't believe the same, that we get to know them. And you know what? I'm missing one too that I can't think of for the life of me. Sorry.
Yeah. That's already a big challenge right there, is to think differently and see another point of view. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's one, you know, certainly a life experience that I've had that's been really profound is, you know, mostly working with Microsoft, you know, and especially here being in Seattle, there's a lot of diversity, you know, there's a lot of different faiths, there's a lot of different ideas. And so just being able to, you know, ask somebody who's Muslim about, hey, what's it like to take the Hajj, you know, or, you know, yesterday it happened to be Diwali, you know, it's like a festival of light, which, you know, gosh, there's so much overlap with, you know, my Christian faith. It's like, oh my gosh, you see how much we have in common and the similarities that we have with people, which you can forget about if you read the news. So I think that's been maybe something for me that I've seen differently, is to become friends with clients with such different faith backgrounds. And I guess realize, wow, got really almost the core of it is really about love one another, like all faiths, you know, it's like an idea of kindness. So that's something I think for me is like a really good eye opening. What about for you? What has been something that you've either changed your mind about or have learned and then see differently now?
You know, and it probably goes back to what the gratitude one, because we say it all the time, right? The importance of appreciation. We see it in research. It's so important for organizations to continually be appreciating people. And it's so much deeper than that. I mean, just learning about how it affects our brain, the oxytocin, how it makes us feel different. You reminded me of it because a big part of it I read in the Book of Joy, and it's the Dalai Lama and Archbishop Desmond Tutu talking, and they go through all these religions and how gratitude is the core of that, and huge karma kickback. It increases our happiness set point by 25% and keeps it there.
Great. Oh, I love how you add numbers to that too.
Yeah. So, I mean, so if you want to feel happier, then, you know, have a grateful folder, start appreciating people on a regular basis.
Yeah. I do love, of course, Mr. Carnegie. So I'm talking about a new way of living, you know, and I think it's with good reason, you know, even before all this research, you know, maybe, you know, we discover that we feel happier when we're grateful and we're not criticizing others or ourselves. It's just training our brain to look for that good. How's that apply? You know, I think especially right now, there are difficulties, you know, there are challenges we're facing with pandemic. I know in the face of adversity, how do you recommend cultivating that optimism and cultivating that gratitude?
Yeah, you know, and that's part of the research too that I read too. It's that what happens is when we have, well, here, this is basically what I've been doing. And this was even before the pandemic. And I have a grateful folder. It's like a book. And every morning I write on the left-hand side, probably about 15 things I'm grateful for. And on the right-hand side, about 15 things that are in the Redis of Vision, just right out of our Built for Success, well, most of our programs. 15 things you state it in the present tense that you want to have happen, right? And I can tell when I skip a day. And what?
How can you tell?
The other thing, it'll be about 2 in the afternoon. You know how you kind of hit the, right? About 2 in the afternoon. And it's not even the amount of energy. It's just how my energy is. I don't feel as happy, as upbeat. I start to get fear. Fear starts to get in my mind. Like, oh my gosh, am I going to make my goals? Or oh my gosh, how did that person feel? I start to second guess. And then I'll look back, I just forgot to do my grateful folder this morning.
Okay.
It's really interesting. And what happens, I mean, they've even done research. What happens is then when we're grateful, we're more apt to go to the, look at things in an optimistic way, mm-hmm. instead of get afraid and have the fear pop in.
Yeah. What tools do you find successful for reframing?
For reframing, meaning that when something negative happens.
Yeah, exactly. Like just seeing it in a different way, or like, what are some of those habits that you have around of, you know, being deliberate in your thoughts?
Yeah. So I think of, I don't know if you've ever read the book. It's an awesome one. It's called Obstacle is the Way, and it's really small. I like the smaller books that you can get through fast, right? And there's a story in there about Grant, Ulysses Grant, right? When he was the general for the North, and how he was trying to get Vicksburg, and he tried all kinds of different ways, like even blew up the levee and tried to float in. It was crazy the things he did. And then the way that they did try, they went past Vicksburg on the Mississippi. That's why it was such a stronghold. It was huge. They went past, they just kind of went for it, knew they were going to lose a bunch, didn't lose as much, but the key was then they couldn't bring their stuff with them. And at that time, all armies would travel with all their stuff, and they couldn't. They had to live off the land. And they ended up getting Vicksburg, and they figured out the way to win the war. So I think about that a lot, because so many times the opportunity, it isn't, I mean, it is that we have the stamina to get through it, right? To keep pushing, and we become more confident. That's part of it. Part of it is the opportunity presents itself, so that we can find a solution that may be the solution to all these other issues we'll have in the future.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like a lot of times it's that upside down way of doing it. Like we have to let go of stuff.
Yeah. So it's just thinking that obstacle is good. This is good.
Yeah. Okay, good. So thinking just obstacles might be a good thing. So just instead of seeing it as a challenge, you go like, okay, yeah, absolutely. The whole idea of blessings in disguise. And, you know, I know that I've had those in my lifetime. So as they come up to go, okay, maybe in a year, how am I going to see this differently? You know, and just try to almost see myself in a year from now, you know, or 6 months even of like, how else am I going to see this differently? And how can I practice seeing that now? You know, just like we do with how would somebody else see this? Okay, how can I try and see it that way? One thing we've talked about over the years is parenting. And so what have you had, I don't know if there's like a favorite principle, you know, I'm really passionate around how to win family and influence kids, you know, that there's, of course, we do these, the principles at work and leadership, and they're just equally impactful at home. So what is either your favorite principle or maybe a story from parenting of how you've applied principles and the impact that it's made?
Yeah, my favorite by far is become genuinely interested, right? Become genuinely interested in other people. I love that one. And I love it because it's become. It isn't saying fake it or, right? It's become. It's who we are. And actually, this one, I don't even know how many people know this. I was driving north to, you know, working, and a teacher called me. And this is the only time it's ever happened. And it called to talk about my oldest son. He's actually working out in your neck of the woods. They're close-ish. And Lewis, and he said, this is not going well, Michelle. And I'm like, what do you mean? Everybody likes Lou, right? And he said, no. He goes, he's just pushing back on everything. And And so I came home and I'm like, all right, Liz, you know, this is what I've been told and you've got to do something different. And he said, well, Mom, he's not a good teacher. And it was math, right? He goes, he's not a good teacher. And I said, well, not all bosses, not all teachers are going to be good teachers and not all bosses are going to be good bosses. And you need to learn to work with them. Why don't you become genuinely interested in them, this person, and tomorrow ask him what his favorite football team is. And so every day when he would go to school, he'd have a different question that he would ask the teacher. And I only gave it to him probably for the first, I can remember four, so maybe 6 days, right? I gave him the question. And then they built up a relationship. And it was strong. They had a nice relationship after that. And it never happened again.
And how old was he at the time?
You know, I was trying to remember when you asked that. I remember what school he was in. So it couldn't have been over sixth grade.
Okay. So yeah, even.
It had to have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It maybe sixth or seventh tops.
Okay.
At the oldest.
Yeah.
But
so,
yeah,
I
he really.
That modeling to be able to say, okay, try this.
Yep. Yep. And not solving it for him.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, I guess another thing is like, how have you been able to find some kind of either work-life balance or a connection, you know, leveraging some of the strengths you have in different categories of your life?
Yeah. So I'm really blended, right? And maybe now it's a little bit different because my kids are getting older, but my life's been really blended. So yeah, I may be working pretty late one night, but then also like I remember picking my kids up from preschool and taking them to daycare at least once every 2 weeks. We'd stop at this, it's a pizza place called Happy Joe's that had games, right? And it would be like, I don't know, maybe 35 minutes and we'd play the, what do you call it? The bowling? Ski ball.
Yeah, where you go, okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We play those games and they'd get tickets and get little, you know, toys, army guys,
yeah,
you know, little stuff like that. And I'd even see customers there. I remember seeing the plant manager from Cargill there once.
Okay.
He kind of did a double take. I'm in my suit and I'm playing skee ball.
Yeah. Oh, but you know, it's like you said, there are going to be plenty of times of stuff we miss. So celebrate the fun stuff as well.
Right.
Yeah. If you were to summarize practical wisdom, you know, what would be either a takeaway for us or something that really guides you?
Practical wisdom for parenting?
Just for life.
Anything?
Yeah, for life.
For life. I would, you know, I'm a big seize the moment.
Yeah.
Just enjoy the little things and seize the moment.
That's it. Great. Well, and you demonstrate that both of cultivating the confidence and the resilience to make something that's been on your mind for 5 years to make it happen. And, you know, taking those opportunities to play and have fun with your kids as well. And for being with us as well. Thank you. Michelle, thank you so much for being on. Congratulations. Thank you too. I think it's interesting. People can be nervous about trying something new of just showing how supportive people have been and what nice comments you've had. And it just kind of gets us over that hump of doubting ourselves is just to put that faith in other people. I think that's something that really resonated that you said. So thank you so much for that great reminder.
Thank you,
audience.
Nikki.